I learned a great deal listening to him preach about spirit, soul, and body. How many remember that? And you know, some of those things about that I did know, but he told me some things that I didn't know. And I love it. I that's one reason I love preaching. I love for people to show me things that I didn't know. And the thing about it, after all these years of being saved and these a number of years now of even trying to preach the gospel, I love to learn, and I don't stop learning. And if you stop learning, then there's something wrong with you, because this book right here can never be. You hear me? There have been volumes of commentaries that have been written, but this book can never be exhausted. Praise God. And that's another thing I like about it. I want to be challenged, and I feel like the Lord has let me see some things even studying here today. So I'm going to be preaching about prayer today. I already told you we're officially starting prayer revival. I hope when I give the altar call, I hope you can come and tarry. I wish we could stay here a solid hour. And I hope the Lord will help us to get to that place where we can be in that spirit where your heart desires and longs to see God. Oh, if once again the church could really see what's in prayer. This is a weapon. This is something that the devil wants to keep shrouded and concealed. He don't even care so much if we do it, if we keep doing it wrong. But I'm telling you, he's afraid of anybody that gets it right. Because when the church, when this church, if this church, if we start praying right and really praying the way God taught us to, we will have revival. You cannot sing a revival. You cannot, as great a preacher as I think Brother James is, he cannot preach a revival. We say that a lot, don't we? Somebody's going to preach us a revival. Impossible? Impossible. But we can pray a revival. Amen. And I tell you, that's the only thing that's going to break down the strongholds. Can you say amen? All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Did I tell you I probably may be a little lengthy today? Is that all right? I don't even have my eyes open. I got them closed, so if nobody's raising their hand, it's still okay. I don't know it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13 is where we want to begin reading. I know a lot of times we stand for the opening passage, but since we're going to be going here line upon line, let's just you can just keep your seat here for now. But if you feel it sometime in this while I'm preaching, it don't bother me at all. I mean, sometimes we think we have to rally the folks and we want them to get on their feet. But if you just feel something in your heart and you want to stand up and raise your hands and give God some praise, you just do it. And I tell you what, when somebody does that, I'll lay this microphone down and I'll lift my hands for a moment and I'll rejoice with you. Praise God. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 13. If you have it, say praise the Lord. All right, let's read this. Verse number 13 through verse number 18. And if you want to read along with me, it'll be fine on this passage. Why don't we do that? Let's just read it all together, starting at verse 13 through verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now we're fixing to read verse number 18. But all of these other things that has been enumerated and mentioned, none of these things, or all of these things, ever how you want to look at it, will be ineffective. You hear me? Will be ineffective without the first word of verse number 18. Praying always, read it with me, amen, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise God. Amen. The Lord bless His word. Verse number 18. Praying always. Praying always. There you go, preacher. Impossible. There's no way, no way, no way that I can always be praying. Praying always. That's what he said. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I want to use this for a title today, a praying spirit. Not necessarily a spirit of prayer, but a praying spirit. Praise God. Am I reading that right? If we extracted the word prayer and supplication, and we just use the first word of verse number 18, praying in the Spirit. And I think that answers, again, that verse being its own best commentary, that answers praying always. Amen. That is the only way you can always pray, is to pray in the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I need to move here. Help me, Lord, to not get too lengthy with things that I don't need to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 23. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. We'll be coming back here after a while. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Praise God. And the very God of peace sanctify you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And if you're reading it, it's all right. If you want to say it with me, praise God. And I pray God your whole, W-H-O-L-E, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Spirit, soul, body. Amen. How many thirds does it take to make a whole? Come on. Takes three. And we could have a little fun with some of our guys that believe the oneness doctrine, but you know, they're Trinity whether they want to be or not. They're three parts. They are soul, they're spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see that Trinity in that part. And I don't know for sure, but I believe that Paul lists these in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here. I believe he lists them in the order of their digression, if I could use that word, of their importance in using it. Spirit number one, soul number two, and body as the third one. Amen. Where is your body going to go when it dies? It's going to go back to the dust. Amen. Praise God. Your soul is eternal. It's going to live on somewhere. Amen. And your spirit is going to return to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope somebody helped me here for a little while. Praise God. Your spirit is going back to God. It's God's. He's the one that gave it. It's going back to Him. No wonder Jesus said, don't fear those that can destroy the body. Amen. Don't worry about if you lose your life. Don't worry about those that kill the body. He said, don't fear those that kill the body. Jesus put less emphasis on the body than he did anything else. But I tell you what, me and you put more emphasis on the body than we do anything else. We put more emphasis on creature comforts than we do anything else. We do more to preserve this that Jesus counts as the least. This is what we do the most for, is the body. And that's not even the important thing. Amen. Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear him that can destroy both soul and body. That's what Jesus said. Amen. I tell you, and I know that at times that hell is referred to as the grave. I understand that. Amen. But you're gonna suffer in hell the torments of the flames. You see why we need to be taking more interest in what's going on. In that, I mean, those other two parts, the soul and the spirit, are just as important. No. They're more so. They are just as real as this body you see sitting here. This body is what has contact with the world. I mean, that's the reason we know you're here. That's the reason we know you're in church today, because you have a body. But it's very, in the list of the way it's categorized, it's at the bottom. Amen. And I know it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I know that we have to be stewards and should be good stewards of our body and take the best care we can of it. But what should we be doing about these other two that are just as real? We can't look in the mirror and see it. We don't see it staring back at us. But those other two things are just as real as the thing you're taking so much time to take care of. Amen. Oh, help me preach here today, Lord. Amen. And that's the reason we got to understand the significance of importance. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that's the way, that's the reason, I believe that's the reason that the Spirit had Paul to write it that way. Amen. Your body is going to die. It's going to return back to the dust. Your soul is going to be eternally alive somewhere, and your spirit will return to God. Even, and follow me close here. Now we're gonna look at some more scriptures here, but don't anybody run away on me here. Even if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't get these two confused. Even if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, you still yet have a spirit. Amen. And to tell you the truth, this way I believe, and I feel like the Lord helped me see this today. You know, if you don't learn to pray with your spirit, then you're never going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Man, I wish somebody'd say amen in here today. You got to learn to pray in the spirit to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So don't say, I can't pray in the spirit because I don't have, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't say, no need me coming to prayer revival and trying to have a praying spirit because I don't have the Holy Ghost. That's not it. You have a spirit. Amen. And the only way that you're going to be able to contact God is through your spirit. Amen. Spirit to spirit. Amen. It wasn't just taking up space when Jesus said to that woman at the well, the time has come that the true worshiper will worship the Father. He wasn't just saying that because it rhymed. That is the only way that you can really worship, is worship the Father with your spirit. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Amen. You can't worship God with your body. You can't worship God with your soul. I mean, really, you can't pray with your body. And you can't pray with your soul. The only way you can really pray, hallelujah, and contact God is spirit to spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling better about this already. Amen. That's the reason. That's the reason we must pray always in the Spirit. That is the reason God made you with a spirit. Amen. And that's the reason a lot of folks can't pray right, because they're trying to pray with some of these other things. Amen. Now, I remember you telling us, brother, what your soul is. That's your mind. That's where your battle is. People talk about being, scientists have given a lot of names about being bipolar and schizophrenic, and they're this way. Well, of course, that's where the battle is. Paul even talked about that. When I would do good, evil was present. And when I wanted to do the right thing, something, that's what's going on in your, and also it's referred to as your psyche. That's your soul. That makes you who you are. That's where your battle is. That's where the enemy wants to battle. And also that's where your intellect is. And that's the reason some of you never get your prayers answered, because you're praying only in your intellect. I sure hope I'm helping somebody in here today. Praise God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and must pray in the spirit. Amen. I know it gets confused with emotionalism. I understand that. But you can dance yourself silly. You can dance yourself till you don't have any feet left. And you can speak in other tongues till you have a callus on the roof of your mouth and still not pray. Somebody needs to hear me preach here today. Praise God. You have to pray with your spirit. Spirit to spirit. That's what your spirit. Your spirit belongs to God. And God put a spirit inside of you so He could communicate with you. Oh, praise God. Help me here today, Lord. Amen. You know, I remember. I'm glad my dad's here today. Always love it when they're here. Amen. Praise God. I remember before I went off, I guess he kind of knew me. Probably had slipped in on me a few times. And he said before I left to go on my first revival, Brother Dale Crawford was kind to me. Let me have a revival in Athens. And before I left to go on that first revival, my mom gave me a credit card to Morton's, I think. And I got to go down there and buy me a new suit coat, top coat. And my dad told me, he gave me a lot of advice. One thing before he left, he said, now when you get up there at that revival, he said, you're praying every day. He said, don't ruin your voice trying to pray all day long. He said, you'll blow your voice out. And I still have a problem with that. But a lot of times, about the time I feel it crack, I remember he told me I don't have to pray that way. You know, we pray like, a lot of times we pray like I envision in my mind the prophets of Baal were. They were leaping on the altar. They were cutting themselves with knives. No doubt they were lifting their voice to the top of their lungs. Amen. God is not senile. God is not developing hard hearing. God does not have hardening of the arteries that's causing Him to lose His hearing. God is a spirit. And God give you a spirit. And you can pray in the spirit. And God can hear you when you pray. And He will hear you. Amen. But I'm not sure you're going to do much good until you do pray in the Spirit. In other words, in your spirit, with your spirit. Amen. You know, I tried to do it. I mean, I remember in that revival, sometimes I'd get in there, man, I'd be back and forth. I did a lot of times. I mean, there have been times I've walked around and prayed like I was preaching. I mean, just feeling the anointing and feeling God. And I mean, just, hey, you know. Yeah, I don't know if God was impressed with that or not. God doesn't have to be told what to do. He's not waiting on you to tell Him. And I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself, but when we pray with our mind, when we pray with our soul, and we pray with our intellect, we are telling God what we want. We are telling God what we want a lot of times for our body. Amen. I mean, you can stand out there and try to speak that new car into your garage all you want to. God could care less if you have a red car or a blue car or a black car, amen, or a fancy car. He don't care about that kind of stuff. He don't mind if you have a nice home and a nice car, but he's not going around being your, God help me to know how to say this, your pseudo-spiritual Santa Claus. And when you pray with your intellect, when we pray with what we want our loved ones to be saved. We want our church to grow. We want all of these things. We want our life to be blessed. We want our bodies to be healed. And if we're not careful, we'll come in here and pray revival next week. I'm not against the list at all. I'm for it. Amen. But we'll want to pray about what we want and what we need. I tell you what we need to do. We need to get our minds in prayer. Amen. Off of what we want and what we'd like to see done. And see if God won't touch our heart. Amen. He probably not interested in you praying so much for yourself and for your need as He is about praying for somebody else's. Pick up a list and a copy, amen, and try to make it a point to spend at least as much time on somebody else's needs as you are on your own. Woo! Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Man, man, man. Jude, the book of Jude, verse 20. There's one verse there that said, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying. Now I'm fixing to start trying to show you the difference here about your spirit and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that, doesn't it? Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Brother Robbie, we're going to never see what we want to see until folks learn how to walk in the Word. Till folks learn how to read the Word. There's too much. The reason our holiness churches are staying small, the reason our holiness churches is riddled with big I's and little U's, amen, the reason our churches and our camp meetings are riddled with politics and who's going to be the speaker and who's going to do this and who's going to do that is because we're too interested in building a kingdom for ourselves. Man, how'd that get way off over here? How many of y'all was in Brother Marty's funeral? I'm on a rabbit trail right now, but I'll get back in a little bit. I mean, even the man in charge, Brother Meadows, said, there's all different kinds of brands of holiness here. You know, and there was. But wasn't it amazing? Wasn't it amazing? All in one place, under one roof, everybody come together. That the Holy Ghost moved in that place in a mighty way. I think he was sanctioning a ministry like that young man had. And why do we promote certain things and try to feel like we're doing God a favor if we can promote something we think is godly above everything else? I had a little conversation with Brother Philip Dean. He may be listening. I don't know. He said, it's funny we can all come together for Brother Marty. And all have a good service and all feel the presence of the Lord. I saw people, all kinds, lifting their hands, worshiping God. Tears running down their face. I tell you, this is a killer right here. This is what Brother Philip said. He said, I wonder why we couldn't do that for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Oh, the Millikens wouldn't have had a ministry if it hadn't been for Christ. And it was the love of Christ demonstrated through that young man's ministry that brought people together. God is not impressed with your pet peeve, but God is impressed with you praying in the Spirit. You can contact Him. Until we can teach our people, our meetings, our church services, and I mean everybody, I'm confessing my faults and I'm taking a long time and I'm going to take a long time and it's okay. For our visitors, y'all other folks tell them that I don't always preach this long, but this is teaching sermons. We have got to learn, young people, you've got to learn not to wait on somebody to sing it down, on somebody to preach it down, on somebody to pray it down. You have got to learn to get a hold of yourself through the Word of God and build yourself up. He's not talking about building yourself up in self-promotion. He is talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up. so you don't have to be patted on the back and pampered and and your spiritual diapers changed. And my God, help me to preach in here today. Amen. And pet you around and nurse you around. Amen. Like Moses said to the people, have I become a nursing father to you? I can't do everything for you. Do the math. There's too many people in this church. But if I can teach you to walk in the Word, if I can teach you to read the Word, if I can teach you to pray in the Spirit, we'll have revival. Hallelujah. And you'll do something for the kingdom of God if I come to the pulpit and never hit a lick. Oh, I wish I could preach in here this morning. God is wanting us to pray in the Spirit. He gave us a spirit that is capable of contacting Him. And if we will pray in the Spirit, you will build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now that is different than I was talking about that spirit. You have a spirit. Even if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can pray in the Spirit. Really the only way you can pray, because God's already given you a spirit. You got to let spirit come to spirit. You got to get your spirit. A lot of times when it's talking about God's spirit in the New Testament, it'll be a big S. And it's talking about our spirit, it'll be a little S. You need to get your little spirit. Oh, I wish I could preach right now. If you get him hooked up with his big spirit, I'm telling you, brother, we will have a revival. Spirit comes to spirit. Praise God. In verse number 19, if you would look at it, some of you may turn there. It talked about those that were sensual. The verse preceding verse number 19, they were sensual. There you go, right there. You got it. Having not the Spirit. You know, this sensual there is not necessarily talking about sexual perversions, although that could be in it, but it's the senses. Sensual. So that's back again to praying when you're praying that way. Not necessarily that you're perverted of some kind, but when you're praying with your senses, you're going to be praying for what you want. You're going to be praying for what you need. You're going to be praying for what you'd like to see happen, and you're going to be praying with your own understanding and trying to tell God just how He could do it. God, you could do it. Folks, I'm guilty. I've done it. I mean, I've spent hours of praying that wasn't in the Spirit. When it was God, I'll tell you what you could do, God. You know, boy, I love you, God. You know, I love you. I'll tell you, you could do this. You could work on this over here, and you could put this together over here, and you could work on this over here, and you could, God, look, God, look at my idea. Aren't you impressed, God? Look. Let me ask you something right now. Ones of you have been saved for a long time. When God answered one of your prayers, was it anything like you expected that it would be? Was it anything like you asked? Saying, preacher, you know, what's the deal? We're not supposed to ask. No, y'all. I'm not through preaching yet. That's not what he's saying. I'm just talking about when you're praying in your own, when your soul is praying. I mean, people, sometimes, here's a word we misuse. And I learned this a long, long, long time ago before I met Brother James even. When people talk about, they talk about their children and they're trying to teach them character traits, and they tell them it's naughty to be selfish. That's another word for soulish. You hear me? And you know people that are that way. You know people that claim to be spiritual. They claim to be real spiritual. They even put on a lot of shows sometimes of spirituality, but they are soulish. Amen.
How many still here?
Yeah. I thought y'all was going to shout me down a while ago now. See my back maybe pulling here a little bit. It's all right. Because y'all are picked up on my cues. I'm trying to teach something here today. And when you're trying to pray with your intellect, with your senses, when you're praying sensual or intellectual or with understanding, that's the reason you can't pray an hour. You hear me? That's the reason I get those calls, Brother Larry. Are we having church? He had to call and tease me about that this week. Or are we just having prayer meeting? You know what you done? You minimized. You whether you realize it or not, you did not prioritize that spirit, soul, and body in the right place. You put a very small premium on prayer, you know, and you put more premium on singing. Y'all ain't forgot what I just got through saying about building up yourself, did I? You want somebody else to pick you up, build you up, sing a good song. What's wrong with that preacher? He's so dry. He ain't getting a hold of it. And I know it's partly our fault. We've trained our people to receive only emotional type, what we call anointed preaching. A lot of times they don't have anything to do with it. Are y'all still here? And I know you're enduring sound doctrine, and I know it's already getting long, and some of you are already wishing I'd get to it. But the ones that want to stay, remember, I know about how many will show up for prayer revival, and I hope it's everyone I'm preaching to right now. Amen. But more so because a lot of people don't. That's the reason I'm not scolding y'all and beating y'all up. No. I'm just telling us how we can be effective in our prayer. It's praying in the Spirit. Amen. And when you're trying to do it with your own mind and your own intellect, you're going to run out of things to say. And you're going to be sitting there, oh God. Oh God. Oh God, help us, God. Help us next week, God. Lord, help my business this year, Lord. Help us to do better than we ever done before, God. Help my family and keep your hand on us. Oh God. Oh God. Oh. And then someone to hook up with two or three others and you'll talk and and after a while, I kind of demonstrated this over here while that's going on, Sister Sanders over here. And I hear her say, ooh, ooh, ooh. What's happened? These other folks didn't realize anything's going on. Somebody over here was getting their spirit. I was just about to make contact. Just about to get my little spirit over there where that big spirit is. Oh, I'm telling you, if you'll hear me preach this, somebody's going to have a breakthrough in prayer. I want to challenge somebody. You say, preacher, I don't know if I've ever prayed through or not. Amen. I can tell you how to do it. This is how you do it right here. You get here, amen, and you say, I'm not going to pray with my intellect. I'm not going to pray with my understanding. I'm not going to pray with what I know. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray with my spirit. And if I can worship Him in spirit and in truth, then we're going to have revival. God is a spirit. Amen. There is a certain time for praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. You can pop that open for me. There's a time for that, and I'm going to get to that. Are y'all doing okay? We need to stand up and take a little break? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Will you get that for me? Brother Tommy, if you'll come over here and stand, Brother David will bring you a mic down here. This chapter is so misunderstood. There's others today that I would hoped that would be here. And I sure don't claim to know it all. Amen. But there is a time for praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason I talked to you about a spirit. You have a spirit. You can pray in the Spirit without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Are we together on that? But then there is a time to pray in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves. If you have it, that's a great benefit. Amen. And you know how to pray in the Spirit, or you would have never got the Holy Ghost if you didn't learn how to pray in the Spirit. So I know you know how. It might have been a long time since you got to where you prayed all the way through to that. But when you pray back through to it again with the evidence of speaking other tongues, you'll have to pray in the Spirit to get back to that place. Praise God. So there's time for praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a time for praying in tongues. We're fixing to get to that. Amen. You'll never get the Holy Ghost. I've already said that. Until you learn. If anybody's getting any help in here, would you just give God a good hand clap here this morning, this afternoon? Oh, thank God He made us three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse number 1, read it. Let's see what it says.
Follow after charity.
Follow after charity.
Desire spiritual gifts.
Desire spiritual gifts.
But rather that you may prophesy.
But rather that you may prophesy.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men.
See, I can't already do this on typical Sunday mornings. And I really do. I love to teach. One reason we don't do it more often because a lot of people don't care for it. But if you want to go somewhere in 2014 in God and you want to learn to build yourself up, I can tell you how to do it. Yeah, if you just want to keep being entertained and you want to be soulish and you want your soul to be encouraged and you want your body to be blessed and you want to be healed and you want all those things and keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to have a breakthrough in prayer, listen to what the Bible says. Amen. Read on. Hallelujah.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
In an unknown tongue.
Not unto men, but unto God.
He speaks unto who?
To God.
But if he prays in an unknown tongue, who's he speak to?
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
But unto God. All right.
For no man understandeth him.
No man understands him.
Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Howbeit in the spirit. Amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, this is good stuff. Amen. In the spirit. Hallelujah. Read on.
But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men.
He that prophesieth speaketh unto men.
To the edification.
To the edification.
And exhortation.
And exhortation.
And comfort.
And comfort. The church needs that, doesn't it? Read verse number 4.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
Edifieth himself.
Edifieth. Listen to this. This is important. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Edifieth himself. Amen.
But
I wish I could help somebody here today. That's about what I told you out of Jude. Verse number 20. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in tongues. You are edifying yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Read on.
But he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
He that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Read on verse number 5.
I would that you all spake with
tongues. I would that you all spake with tongues.
But rather that you prophesied.
But rather that you prophesied.
For greater is he that prophesied.
Greater is he that prophesied.
Than he that speaketh with tongues.
Than he that speaketh with tongues.
Except he interpret.
Except he interpret.
That the church
that
may
the
receive
church
edifying.
May receive edifying.
Amen.
Why do we come to church? We come to church to be edified. If everybody came to church and just sat around and spoke in tongues, nobody would be edified.
Amen.
Except only we ourselves.
Amen.
But there is a place and a time,
yes,
that your spirit, through the Holy Ghost,
yes,
will pray in another tongue.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it will be you know why it's a mystery to you? Because it is not your senses.
Right.
It is not your intellect.
Right.
It's not you telling God how to do it. But amen in tongues. Even the devil don't even know what you're saying.
Right.
Even you don't even know what you're saying.
Right.
But when you're praying with your spirit,
amen,
and you're edifying yourself with tongues, you are building up yourself.
Yes. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I wanted to spend a little time there because I don't want anybody to fall off the wagon. When we move on down to some of these other verses, there is a time and a place to pray in tongues.
Yes,
that's
yes.
One reason God give us unknown tongues.
Yes.
Amen. It is for a reason and a purpose. It is to help you pray in the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Amen. Oh, man, I wish I had more time to elaborate
on
some of those. He's in an unknown tongue. He edifieth himself. Amen. But God puts a greater emphasis. He puts a greater premium on prophecy.
Right.
And prophesying, because that edifies, everybody.
Edifies.
But we do believe in tongues.
Sure we do.
And we do believe that tongues has a place.
Sure we do.
When you're speaking in tongues, it's a mystery. It's not
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Am I getting that? Am I driving that home?
Yeah, get it home.
Amen. That's one reason. I mean, you get into praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the tongues takes over.
Yeah,
amen. It goes to moving,
yeah,
and you don't know what you're saying, and the
yeah.
devil don't know what
yeah.
you're saying, and everybody around you don't know what you're saying. Amen. But you're being edified, and you know. Amen. And a lot of times in that place is when the Spirit is working through the Holy Ghost, and you're speaking in other tongues, that you will get the revelation.
Yeah, sometimes it'll come back.
And then while you're doing that, then you will know what to pray.
Yes.
You get the interpretation.
That's
you
right.
know
That's right.
what to pray about. And I'm not dealing so much with prophecy and interpretation. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. I'm talking about how this relates to prayer.
Yes.
Praying
right.
in the Spirit.
Right.
I'll get down here and pray 5 or 10 minutes. I've exhausted my intellect. everything I know and all my people and all my friends and all my cousins and all my coworkers. And I'm out. I don't have anything else to pray. And pray in the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost starts moving.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I wish I could preach right now.
Glory.
Oh, brother. I'll never forget that day. And you probably don't remember it, but I do. We lived in that little parsonage on Katy Street. And it was about 1969, I believe. And you and Brother Sammy was talking about building a brush arbor out here on 81st Street.
Yeah.
They were talking at some, praying about it some. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Moms and dads, if y'all don't hear anything else I say today, I mean, it is important to pray with your family.
Yeah.
It is important for you to pray in other tongues. And is it important for you to pray with understanding?
Yeah.
Praise God. And that day, in our time, I mean, our family, my mom, my dad, my siblings, we was having prayer in that little parsonage. Hey, man, our daily prayer. I mean, we wasn't praying for nobody that called sick. It was just time for us to all kneel down and pray before we got going. Hey, man, and I knew they were talking about that. Hey, man, but I remember, hey, this is the first time I remember that happening in our little family prayer. Hey, man, all of a sudden, my dad threw his hands up and began to speak in another tongues. Hey, man, you talk about chill bumps running all over, hey, man, up and down the children. I don't know how long it went on. It seemed like it was 30 minutes. Amen. But when he got through, amen, and got up from that prayer meeting, he had the revelation and the direction and knew exactly what to do. And they done it. And numbers of folks got saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed of diseases. Bless God, they're still healed today. Amen. Mighty miracles that took place in 1969. Amen. About 2 miles from here. Because somebody prayed in tongues and got definite revelation and direction and knew what to do. Man, I wish I could preach in here today. Amen. Do you want to have revival? Do we want to have a move of God? Are we going to complain about having to come every night and do nothing? Your children are growing older. They're getting older. The devil's pulling on them. The world's pulling at them. He's taking them out. We can't hardly compete with what the world's throwing at us. We can't hardly keep them reined in. Amen. Because they see something else. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a reason why. Amen. That God's brought me to where I am. I didn't get here on my own. Thank God I did learn to pray in the Spirit and build up myself. But it's incidents like that in my life, amen, that let me know that God hears and answers prayer. That was an interpretation. That was a revelation. Amen. Don't tell me that those things only happen back in the Bible days. They happen. Am I still helping you? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's so much more. Going down to verse 13. Let's move on down there.
Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray.
Y'all know that I don't preach this way very much, but man, I love, you know, I'm an illustrator preacher, and most of the time that's kind of the way I preach, but I'm telling you, this is sound doctrine. A lot of people don't like it. But I love to study it, and I love to preach it, and I love to teach it. And we're at 2014. We're going to face things. We faced things in 2013 that I had no idea we would face.
All right.
And I'm telling you, the devil is not going to go on vacation.
No, he's not.
And the only way we're going to outwit him and outsmart him and stay a step ahead of him.
Pray it through.
Is praying it through.
Pray it through.
Pray it through. Oh, I wish God would put such a burden to prayer.
Pray it through.
I'm not talking about a spirit of prayer. I'm talking about a praying spirit.
Amen.
I want us to pray before we leave here. I hope we'll pray this whole week. God, give me a praying spirit. God, work on my spirit, Lord. Open up my spirit to pray. I need a praying spirit. Oh, I'm telling you, when this church, Brother Robbie, gets a praying spirit, we will have revival. You may not get to preach much, Brother James, if we get all getting a praying spirit this next week. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Woo! I wish somebody rejoiced.
Hallelujah.
I want to keep moving because I know it's getting lengthy, but I love it when I feel God while we're talking about His Word. Anybody learning anything here today?
Amen.
There he's got. What does verse 13 say?
Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue Wherefore, pray that he may interpret.
Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Is that
or
verse 13?
Yes.
All right.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue.
If I pray in an unknown tongue.
My spirit prayeth.
My spirit prayeth. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Isn't that confirming what I'm teaching you today? My spirit. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit. My little spirit is contacting his spirit. And man, something's going to happen. Ooh, it's not past my brain and my soul and my intellect. I'm praying in the spirit. Woo! Praise God. Read it.
But my understanding is unfruitful.
What
is it then?
So what did Paul say? Is he told us a whole bunch here now and X'd it all out?
No, I will pray in the spirit.
I'll pray in the spirit.
And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse number 15 is what I just read.
Verse number 15, he begins. He's verse number 14, Brother Tom read, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Yes. So some have said it's not important to pray in tongues.
It's not important.
You don't even have to talk in tongues. You don't have to do any of that. It's just not for everybody. And they use this verse right here, but that's not what he's saying. Look at verse number 15. He starts that with it. You know, Brother Tommy read it, but he didn't point that out. It's as a question mark. What is it then?
Yeah.
You told me a while ago in verse number 4 that I'm supposed to pray in another tongue, building up myself. And now you're saying that it's unfruitful. And I think that's the reason he asked that question. So he's asking for them. So what is it then? Am I supposed to or am I not supposed to?
What do I mean?
I'm edifying myself, and I'm supposed to, but now you're telling me if I do it that way, that's unfruitful.
Now he's going to explain it.
Man.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So he says, I will pray in the spirit. I'll pray in an unknown tongue. And I will pray
with the understanding.
With the understanding.
Yes.
Also.
I'll pray both ways.
And a little while later, he'll tell us, I'm going to have you move on down and read verse 30 through 32, and he'll tell us why it's important to pray. Praise God with the understanding. Woo, go ahead and read verse number 16.
It goes with that. Listen to this, folks.
Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit,
remember what he just said, I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll pray in understanding also.
Yes.
I'll do both. Praise God. Then he says,
else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, How shall he that occupieth the room
of the unlearned
say amen?
He don't know what he's saying amen to.
No.
He don't know what that preacher's saying. He don't know if he believes that or not. How's he going to know? He's unlearned. That's not talking about somebody uneducated and hadn't been to college and don't know how to read. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people that don't know what a lot of us know. He's unlearned in the gifts of the Spirit. This is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. This is the nuts and bolts of how it's supposed to work and operate.
In the church.
He told us what they were in chapter 12. Then he gave us chapter 13 and says charity is more important than all of it.
Yes.
Prophesying tongues. Put it all in there together. Charity is above every bit of it.
Amen. Right.
But then verse 14 he said, now if you're going to operate in these gifts, these are how.
This is the way it does.
This is the way it works right here. And so if somebody comes in and they don't know what you know and they're unlearned and everybody just talking in tongues and edifying themselves, and he said, how can he say amen?
That's right.
All right. So, read on.
Verse number 16.
Keep reading.
And thy giving of thanks. How's he going to say amen?
How's he going to say amen?
Yeah. Seeing he understandeth not
what thou sayest.
For thou verily givest thanks well.
Yes.
But the other is not edified.
It's not edified. What are you saying, preacher? Well, you know, we have a lot of, again, I use this word pseudo-charismatic. Folks, I've been to pray with people in hospitals where some of those showed up. And while I prayed with understanding, while I prayed in English,
they stood there.
They stood there the whole time, spoke in tongues.
That's right.
I didn't understand a word they said.
I didn't either.
I don't know if they was praying for the one who was laying hands on or somebody else.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know what they're praying.
I don't know.
He's praying in tongues. Preacher, have you not ever prayed for anybody in tongues? Yes, I have. I sure have. Amen. But for those that don't know, they don't know what you're doing. They're going to come in and everybody's talking in tongues. Everybody's laying hands on her and not praying. Then they don't know what you're praying for.
They don't know how to say amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
One illustration I just give you a while ago. The reason that my parents pray with understanding, so I would grow up knowing. I heard mom and dad pray about that. I heard them talking to God about that. I was not spiritual. I did not have the Holy Ghost. But I understood what they were praying. And I seen God answer their prayer. So I could say amen. Oh, y'all are not feeling what I'm feeling right now. Amen. You can say amen. When somebody said I prayed about it. I requested prayer about it. And I heard somebody at the altar praying about it. Amen. In English. And I seen God answer that prayer. I can say amen. I understood in my word. Amen. The reason we pray in tongues again is to get a revelation. And when God gives you a revelation, He will tell you something to pray in front of your children. He'll give you something to pray in front of the school. He'll give you something to pray in front of the church. He'll give you something to pray in front of your little children when you're asking the blessing on the food. And they will know that mama's got an experience. Amen in God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. This summer, when we were coming back from Richlands, I got Brother Havis's number, amen, from Brother Bruce, and we stopped and seen him down there in Bristol. Oh, God help us today. His health is failing. Amen. Oh, the days that I heard that man of God preach. I do not remember a time. There was times it was long. Amen. Probably not like some of you are here today, but I dreaded the minute he was going to stop. I didn't want him to quit preaching. It was feeding my soul. I wanted to hear it.
Give me some more.
Well, other folks made fun of it directly to me because it was too long. I thought, oh my God, what preaching. And listen, I wasn't always a preacher. If y'all want to stand up and rest a little bit, I'm really trying to have mercy on you. I really love y'all. This is different. But he said, oh, he got to telling me in April. We was sitting there on one side of the table. He's on the other. His mind's still good, telling us things. Yeah. He said, I asked him some things, you know, and had put him on to start thinking. He'd tell things. He said, yeah, I left Norman, moved back down there. Because I was talking to him about that year that Havis and Lois and Mary Ellen showed up at Winthrop. That would have been 73 or 74 because y'all having trouble hearing back there, brother. Brother Bruce let us drive a brand new car, brand new Oldsmobile. Yeah. And we made that trip that year, that camp meeting. That was the year that Havis and him come over. But anyway, he started talking about those saints down there, you know, where he grew up. He said, yeah, after I moved back. Yeah. And he said, I went down there to church and told the name of the place. He told the condition Sister Newman was in. Yeah. He said, I prayed for her. We prayed for her. Yeah. And it was a horrible, horrible condition. Yeah. I mean, a serious medical condition. Yeah. And God healed her.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about little things. I'm talking about things that would have required surgery. God, in less than 24-hour period, God completely healed her. He said, you know, now I know you don't know her. I said, oh, yes, I did know her.
Yeah, we did know her.
I said, matter of fact, she was probably the first human being that ever touched my naked body. When my mother gave birth to me, she was standing right there.
Yeah.
Oh. He said, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's that woman right there I'm talking about. I'm still on the scripture right here about why we pray with understanding. But it was said, Sister Newman, when they were calling the boys to World War II or Korea One, and they all left early in the morning, had to walk down there to Baptiste or somewhere to catch the bus to go for their physicals. When them Mountain Hick boys got on the bus down there, and they sat down beside Stanley, and they said, Stanley, you won't be going.
Stanley won't be going. How you know?
How you know I won't be going?
Yeah.
Other boys said, how do you know Stanley won't be going?
How you know?
He said, on the way to the bus this morning, I heard his mama praying, let Stanley go to the war. Don't let Stanley go to the war. And you know what? Stanley didn't go to the war. Yeah. And that's the reason those unbelievers had confidence in people that had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I wish I could preach in here today. I'd quit teaching now, and I'd go to preaching, and I'd try to get you excited and motivated and building up yourself till you would pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing me preach and teach? We can have a prayer revival. We can have a breakthrough in prayer. We can see God move.
Yeah.
And those that are unlearned, those that are children like I was that don't know, they will learn there's something in the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit till you get the revelation. Then do some praying and understanding so we'll know what you're praying about.
Yeah.
So when God answers that prayer,
let
amen, he will get
know.
The glory.
Yes.
Oh, would you lift your hands,
yes.
would you? If you feel like you need to stand up for a moment, I'm not too much from being finished, but I do have a little ways to go yet. Praise God. Would you just another few seconds here? I can tell by looking. I know I've got some of you wore all the way out. But I'm loving what God's Word's saying here today. Hey, man, pray, 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 young people. Learn to pray. I hope I'm doing you some good here this morning. Pray in the Spirit.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now, there's some more of these scriptures we're fixing to read now that have been misinterpreted. I hope I can get it right for you. Let's move on to verse number 30. That same chapter.
If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
What he's talking about now. Man, I wish everybody was here.
Maybe I just need to have some teaching sessions and teach on these things. But this is talking about when the gifts of the Spirit are operating and there's a message goes out in tongues.
Yeah.
There's reasons why when somebody stands up with authority in their voice.
Yeah.
Amen.
Everything gets quiet.
And gives out a message. Amen. I've seen it over and over and over. Whew.
The baby stopped crying.
Baby stopped crying.
Right.
Everybody still. Amen. Let me tell you something. I wish we had more of that at Bethany.
Oh, God.
And I prayed some about that last year. And that was a prayer that was answered. That has happened more times this year in 2013 where a message was given out in tongues. Interpretation just happened a couple of weeks ago. Brother Dickey had it. Brother, Brother Charles, last year, I'll tell this. I don't know if I've ever told this in public. Last year during Brother Burgess's revival, there was one night he was getting close to the altar call. Probably 4 or 5 minutes before he gave the altar call, I felt it coming on me. I knew the Holy Ghost was going to manifest. You know, I thought it was just supposed to happen. You weren't supposed to know it. No, it ain't always the way. Sometimes. I've had it manifest to me. I didn't know it was fixing to happen. It just, all of a sudden, it was happening. But I knew it was. I started becoming fearful because I knew. I knew it was. And as that, and this is, God let this happen so he could teach me something. And he did. And I didn't understand why it happened like I'm telling you, but I think I know why it happened. Because this is the way the devil is, how he works. In that amount of time, the devil said to me, while I was in the pulpit and this man God was preaching, there's nobody here that will interpret. And about as quick as he said that, the Spirit revealed to me. Now, I can tell this after fact. It said, Charles Gaines can. To my knowledge, I'd never been in a service where he'd I don't know if he ever had been used that way, but I have no idea. I'd been in service with him that many times. But the Holy Ghost moved on me. I spake with tongues. And I no more and closed my mouth. Brother Gaines stepped up. And gave that interpretation out. God's my witness. God is my witness. I'd be afraid to say anything else. In his house, like it happened just like that. Now, there was other people here that I worship with all the time that I have confidence in. I've seen God. It wasn't that I didn't think. I already told you it was the devil.
Yeah.
He was trying to discourage me. God showed me he could use a vistra if he needed to.
Sure he can.
Oh, how many's loving God here today? How many wants to pray in the Spirit? Read on. Are you on verse number 30?
31 now.
31.
For ye may all prophesy.
For ye may all prophesy.
One by one.
One by one.
That all may learn.
That all may learn.
And all may be comforted.
And all may be comforted. Amen. Is that all the way down through 31?
Yes.
What does 32 say?
And the spirits of the prophets are subject to
Listen
the
to
prophets.
That. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Amen.
That tells me what I've been telling you all the time I've been trying to preach to you. The prophets have a spirit too. Amen. And your spirit inside of you is subject to somebody else's spirit. Amen. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost moves, there's a reason why it shuts everything down. When the Holy Ghost moves, it wants everybody in that house to not only hear the message that's going out in tongues, but then it wants to hear that interpret. That's the reason it's more important to interpret than it is to stand up and give out a message in tongues. Pray that you may interpret. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Let me help you with this just a little bit here. When somebody's giving out a message in tongues, you want to sit there and listen to all of that. Amen. And you want to hold on. You want to hold off. Amen. If it's being revealed to you, you can hold off. Amen. Until somebody else gives their edification or their what was revealed to them, and when they get through, the Holy Ghost might have revealed, amen, he might have revealed something else to you that you need, amen, and it can go by course, and because you felt like it was something else, and somebody else said it was this, amen, if it lines up with the Word of God and it's together, it is all for edification for the body. It doesn't mean that there can only be just one. Amen. But the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Amen. And right in the middle of his revelation, he can stand back and hold his peace while the other one stands up and gives his. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking at me funny now, but I'm still in the Bible. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to work. God is revealing something to you. Amen. You may feel it coming on. You may want to stand up and worship. But I want to admonish you, hold off until it's done. That all may be comforted. And when it's done, bless God, you can get up and have a conniption and shout yourself silly. Amen. And obey God because you've got the revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, wish somebody give him praise right now. I'm trying to wind this thing down. I'm trying to help you here this morning. Amen. God's trying to help us. God's trying to give this church revival. Amen. God's trying to show us what he wants to do. Amen. And I believe that his work is still being manifested in these last days. Amen. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Amen. If you want to turn there. I will therefore that men pray everywhere.
Won't y'all just stand up for a moment, would you? I'm probably going to be another 10 minutes or so.
Would you just lift your hands again? Amen. Some of you are still turning in your Bible. You know, this is one of these scriptures. You can read it right now. You can read it right now, and you can do it right now. I will therefore that men everywhere. I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. Amen. Everywhere. Amen. Am I reading that right? I will therefore that men pray. That men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. Why don't you go ahead and do it right now, even if you're tired, and even if you wish I'd shut up and let you go home. Amen. Just for a little while, forget about me. Amen. And take what you've heard today and lift up holy hands. Amen. Let's worship God here today in spirit and in truth without wrath and doubting. I would that men pray everywhere. I've already read you scriptures always, all the time. I've tried to tell you how you can do it. You can do it in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for worshiping God with me. You may be seated for a few more moments. I would that men everywhere. He's not talking about the Islamists that have to carry their little rug around. Amen. And pray over here when it's time. And pray over here when it's time. Amen. That's not what he's talking about. We don't have to carry a prayer rug around. We don't have to carry a crucifix around. Amen. So we can pray all the time. But I'm telling you, you can claim this promise in your spirit. You can pray all the time. I would that men everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter if you're in the upper room or in hearts of the world. Everywhere lift up holy hands. Oh, hallelujah. Without wrath. Amen. Let me do a little pastoring right here now. Amen. You got to get some things out of the way. If you're going to connect your spirit to God's spirit. Amen. He said without. Pray everywhere, anytime, without ceasing, always. Amen. In the spirit, remember all those scriptures I read to you. But he says without wrath. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9 said, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. How many remember reading that? Did y'all hear me? Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. God says if you're maintaining your harboring, your housing, your resting anger, God says you're a fool. Lift up holy hands. I know some of you saying, preacher, you was preaching a while ago, now you're meddling. I want to have revival. Without wrath. When you see somebody and anger stirs up in you, you're not going to be able to pray in the Spirit. Oh, there's people that are angry at people that are in the grave. And that person in the grave is yet controlling their spiritual walk with God because anger is resting in their bosom. When they think about it, somebody hurt them, somebody stole from them, somebody mistreated them, somebody abused them, somebody took something from them, somebody robbed them, somebody, hey man, they're still, they're harboring anger. When anger's resting in your bosom, you can't pray in the spirit. Lifting up holy hands, this is just one thing I'm doubting. I'm talking on, there's a lot of things it could be. But you got to get those things out. Tell you what we need to do. Some of us need to clean house. We need to get some things out. We need to take control of some things. Cast out that wrath and doubting. Pull those things out. Those things that are controlling you. Those things that you would pray through. You would have victory in this revival, but you think somebody said so. It doesn't matter. Even if that person is right. Amen. If they done it wrong and you know they done it wrong and in the wrong spirit. Amen. They are controlling you in a way that's keeping you from having victory in your soul. Amen. You don't have to be perfect to pray in the Spirit, but you cannot let other people control you and control your spiritual walk with God. Amen. Where anger resteth. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. God will help you to get all that stuff out. He'll help you to overcome that. Praying in the Spirit. Some people are still angry over dead people. Things that don't even matter anymore, and they're still debating it in their mind. It don't even matter anybody else. You can show out. You can shout in front of them if you want to. Try to show them you can. I've seen a fellow do that a time or two. You know, just dance a little jig right in front of all those preachers that he'd caused trouble. You know, they tried to pastor him through the years. That didn't make him spiritual. He could have danced till his shoes would have wore out. Wouldn't have made any difference at all because anger was resting. And it didn't take very much. You could talk to him just a little bit. People act spiritual. They talk spiritual. But they're not if something else is controlling you. Am I helping anybody? I'm asking. Is that three times I've asked you that in this little sermon today? Praise God. I'm just about done. I tell you what you do. If you got somebody like that in your life that's giving you trouble, we're starting. I want you to pray effective. I don't want you to come these cold nights, start up that car, leave, you know, make the children have to stay up late, getting their homework done, all that, to come down here and just moan and groan and not get anything. I want this time. I'm trying to help you. To be effective in your prayer. Matter of fact, I hope I'm helping you to want to come and pray in the Spirit. But instead of just praying about them, again, in your intellect, in your selfish, in your emotions, God, why don't you straighten them out? God, why don't you fix them? God, why don't you work on them? God, why don't you talk to them? God, why don't you, instead of praying about them, pray. You know, Jesus didn't say to pray about your enemies. And I pray about them that despitefully use you. I have had people do that to me. Amen. Oh, man, I wish I had time for some more rabbit trails. I'm thinking of a real good illustration right now that happened to me just recently. Amen. Man, it didn't, not probably not to some of y'all know him, but it's, anyway, it worked out through a long turn of events that some people that had really tried to malign me with that person and tried to make me look really black, it all worked out. After it took a while for it all the dots to connect. I didn't know it. I mean, I knew this gentleman, known him for years. He knows me real good now, and he treats me real good, believe me. Anyway, I won't call names, but we ended up helping some of his kinfolks that had got saved in the jailhouse under that ministry. And I was ministering to other of their kinfolks, and the ones that's been coming here, and they're not here today, but didn't know. Woo! Oh, and I just forgot we're on speaker, and you're listening right now. That's okay, sister. I love you. Man, it's all good. Praise God. Oh, they were so glad to see me. You talk about respect. Man, every one of them, I believe, would have washed my feet. Amen. It's not what I'd done, but because what you all have done for that family. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I know you're having a hard time connecting the dots, but it's just... I mean, it was a long time it happening, but I mean, if there wasn't sickness in their family, they would be here right here today. They love y'all. They love this church. Amen. Amen, Jill Riley, if you're listening. Y'all love us, don't you? Amen. All right, I'll go ahead. See, I told you. Praise God. But the Lord, where I could have never. It wasn't them. It wasn't her. It was some other member of their family. I'm telling you, God knows how. And if I would have went chasing all that down, if I'd have went in my own elect like I wanted to and like I thought about, ooh, I wanted to, and I was loaded, and I was ready. Oh, man. But if I would have, a year later, 2 years later, I might not would have been able to minister to that person. Oh, church, though, when are we going to learn? We believe in being saved, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Ghost, but how many of us really believe that the Holy Ghost knows more than we'll ever know? And it knows more than we'll ever be able to know, and it always knows, and we pray. Amen. With intercession, let your requests be made known unto God. If we pray and we groan in the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, because we know not what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself that knows, amen, what is the mind of the Spirit, prays and groanings. That's talking about that understanding that we don't know. We don't know what it's saying. We're praying in the Spirit. I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. One more passage and I'm done. Praise God. I want you to read it for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 21. And I'm not going to elaborate a lot there. I'm coming down the pike. Aren't y'all glad? Amen. Why don't you just go ahead and stand right now? Maybe it might be. Some of you might have some fire left in you. Oh, man. God help me. Somebody come to the piano. Get me one of those good worshiping songs. Amen. I hope we'll have some hearty souls. It's just 20 minutes after 4. Amen. They'll stay around and let's just start this prayer revival right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 21. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands, church, right now? Give him some praise. Some of you are trying to turn. If you turn with one hand, one finger, maybe do something. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Whoa! Holy, 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 holy. Come on, sister, start playing something right now, would you? Hey, amen. Find us, get ready to go here. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Thank God. Amen. 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 Let's read it. What does it say? Verse number 16. You can quote these, a lot of them, one-liners. Amen. If you got it, say it with me. Rejoice evermore. Amen. Come on, church. Rejoice evermore.
Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's another one-liner. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast. Amen. Are you hearing me? Hold fast to that which is good. Amen. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. There you go again. Always in prayer. Men pray everywhere. Pray without ceasing. How many of these scriptures have I read you today? Amen. How am I going to do it? Can you pray 24 hours a day? No. Can you pray while you work? No. Amen. Your lips are going to wear out. Your knees are going to wear out. But I got some good news for you. If you will pray in the Spirit, you can pray while you work. You can pray while you cook. You can pray while you drive. Amen. You can even pray while you sleep. Hallelujah. Your spirit can contact God. And you can pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I've preached. I've taught my best to you. Amen. Before y'all start off on a song, I want everybody in this house to lift your hands. Amen. Let's worship God for about 5 minutes. Amen. Let your spirit contact his spirit. Let's be a true worshiper. We've bathed the cold. You've endured sound doctrine. Amen. Now let's worship for a while. Amen. If you've never done it, right now's your time to lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. Woo! Holy, holy, holy. Hey, man, I feel like it's coming on. I feel like somebody's getting a hold of it. I feel like somebody's believing the word. I'm begging you. I'm challenging you. Do it, young people. Develop a prayer life. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, man, lift your hands again in your heart. Ask God. God, give me a praying spirit. God, in this revival, give me a praying spirit. God, not only for this revival, but I want my prayer life from this moment on to be revolutionized. I want my prayer life to be changed. Amen. I want to believe your word. I want to build up myself. I want to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want to pray in the Spirit.